This is Karen Lyle with SalesPort Talk. While I have been traveling in Europe, Patty Manigan on Treasure Island in the San Francisco Bay had a great conversation with Riley Gibbs and other members of the U.S. Sailing Olympic team. We listen in just as Patty is asking Riley about his experience sailing on the F-50s in the SailGP San Francisco race with Team USA this past May.
What was that like?
That was fantastic. I mean, St. Francis is one of my home yacht clubs, so it was great to be back. And I had just flown in from a long competitive season in Europe, and to be back sailing again in the U.S. was pretty special. And definitely sailing boats like the 50s, here is pretty extreme. Like all the conditions the bay can throw at you, and then throw a supercharged foiling catamaran into the mix.
So you said you were in Europe for quite a bit before you came here. Where are you from?
I'm from Long Beach, California. So we started the season off, Anna and I, she's my teammate, started back in January racing together and sailing together. So we're a pretty fresh team competing together. So we've had some challenges along the way with injuries and whatnot, but started our competitive season back in March in Palma, an island just off the coast of Spain, and then went into Italy and then on to England and Weymouth at the Europeans. But
fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you do well?
In the first two events, Weymouth and in Palma and Genoa in Italy, we did pretty okay, I thought. Yeah. I mean, for our first two events.
Qualified for the Pan American Games, so that was a highlight of ours.
As well as the test event.
Gold.
In terms of who is your competition, who do you think you're really worried about in New Zealand?
In the New Zealand world?
In the New Zealand world.
Well, that would be the 49ers and the Knackers. They can probably spit the New Zealanders, the Australians are very solid. The Italians are quite good.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone who's been sailing in the SailGP.
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many of the SailGP crews members will be at the Olympics?
That's a pretty good question. At the moment, I think there's six of us who compete in SailGP, but who are also campaigning at the same time. Of those six, I think, well, a lot of us aren't confirmed yet. So there's Nathan and Haley Outeridge, who are one of the options for the Australian NACRA, along with Jason Waterhouse and Lisa Darmanin. Jason's the flight controller for the Australian team, and Nathan's the skipper for the Japanese team, as well as Marie Verrieu and Billy Besson, flight controller and helmsman of the French team.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patty, and the U.S. Sailing Olympic team. This is Karen Lyle from SailSport Talk.
All right, welcome back to Sports Byline, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday in our first hour. This is we do a little sail sport talk, and we always do it with Karen Lyle. And Karen joined us from the Thames. She joined us from different Barcelona, and now she is in Gay Paris in La Belle France. Karen, how are we doing over there?
Oh, doing just fantastic. It's a little rainy today, but I understand the weather will pick up and it will be beautifully sunny tomorrow. And I'm going out on the Seine just to have a little water time.
The lovely Seine. Remember the walking down the Seine, that song, The Metro? I always love it. Now, also joining us is Jan Pachner, the Secretary General of the Yacht Club Costa Smeralda. Jan, you're joining us on Skype from Sardinia. Is that right?
Yep, correct. Hello, everybody.
All right. Yes, go ahead, Karen. Take it away.
Well, Jan, tell us a little bit. Just we're going to start with the weather. Just tell us what the weather's like right now in Sardinia.
Well, it's getting dark. I guess it's the time difference. But it was a bit springtime actually. It was a bit like raining and then a bit chilly. But chilly, we're talking about. Actually, now I'm getting in trouble because you have Fahrenheit. It's about in the sort of getting still up to the 20s if the sun is out. So it's still beautiful, very green. It's a bit rainy season in a way. We just did some olive oil over the weekend. So with the kids. So we just had the harvest of the olives.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And then also today you had an event with the One Ocean Foundation, did you not?
We did an event with the One Ocean Foundation. It's a foundation that we created 2 years ago with a focus on ocean sustainability. From the Yacht Club perspective, we thought with all the issues that are coming out on plastic, on environmental issues, we as a club and our members, we have to do something about it, and we have to we can't just sit here and we have enjoyed for 50 years so much joy on and passion on the ocean. So I think it's about time that we give something back. So we did an event. We presented a report on business for ocean sustainability. It's the first time we think a report like this has been done. We did it with McKinsey, with Stabocconi University, and with a scientific partner, CSIC from Barcelona. And I think the findings are very interesting. We did 230 interviews to different businesses from all kinds of environments and industries to find out and to map what actually companies know about their responsibility towards the environment. What do they actually know about their stress factors and what they put on the environments and what they do against it? So I think it was an interesting mapping. We're talking about the whole stress factors, but might not be too entertaining for your show. It's just important information. So I don't want to bother you too much.
Well, you know, actually, I'm sitting here in Paris and I have one of these straws that I get in the bars, which are metal. And I think, you know, that's a very, very little simple solution to not having plastic straws, for example.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Going the right direction here.
Sipping my martini that way.
Good. You know? Biodegradable martini.
Yes. Right.
Jan, I know that your yacht club Costa Smeralda, with the launching of the One Ocean Environmental Sustainability Project, and you're talking about safeguarding the marine environment, but you were supported by the Princess Zahra Aga Khan. Now, tell us what, you know, in America, we're always fascinated with blue bloods and royalty. She's Swiss, right? I mean, how is she involved?
Basically, the whole Costa Smeralda area, which is basically the north shore of Sardinia, mm-hmm. in the Mediterranean, has been developed by her father, by His Highness the Aga Khan, Prince Karim Aga Khan, in the late 60s. Basically, it's 55 kilometers of coastline, and it's called Costa Smeralda. That's where Porto Cervo is located. And so he founded Porto Cervo. He founded the whole coastline, basically developed the whole area with hotels and infrastructure one of the things he founded was the Yacht Club itself in 1967. So he still is the president of the club, and his daughter Princess Zahra is the president of the board. And also, when we started the One Ocean Foundation, she's very environmental conscious and wants to drive that. So she is president of the foundation.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with some of the Ismaili followers of the Aga Khan in Zanzibar at the Serena Inn, which is one of
exactly.
the properties. And I've been a guest there because I organize safaris through Tanzania and also end up always in Zanzibar sailing the dhows.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yes, but one of the things that was really, you know, clear to me was that the Aga Khan and his followers are very business minded and open internationally to many different cultures and many different experiences, and that's something that I've always experienced whenever I've been traveling. We also had the yacht club Costa Smeralda in Virgin Gorda before the hurricane, and I met with Dario, who was the general manager there. I was a guest at that dock, and I was really sad to see the dock completely gone this last year when I was there. Are there any plans of rebuilding that particular location?
Yeah, you're raising 2 points. The first one, I fully agree. The Arkan family and what they stand for the whole Ismailism. One of the things, just to underline what you just said on the openness to different cultures, is he actually founded the Arkan actually founded the Center of Pluralism, with very high personalities like Kofi Annan, for example. He's part of that. So. He's really about believing in pluralism, different cultures, and trying to sort of, you know, be a trade union in a way, in a good way. So I think he's a fabulous visionary and leader in that respect. In regards to the BVI, you're touching on our, it's our tough spot, because obviously the hurricane did really a lot of damage. We were involved in a legal case, which now I think has been resolved, which was hindering for the further development. And I think the last time I was down there is about 2 months ago. I saw quite some activity finally happening also in the North Sound of Virgin Gorda. So maybe some of you know the Bitter End Yacht Club. I saw quite a lot of movements over there. The Saber Rock, they're developing as well. Richard Branson, I think he finished off, he's close to finishing off the development in Mosquito. So I think the destination is coming back up, and we will for sure try to do our part as soon as the situation is resolved.
You know, oh, I'm glad to hear that. I was just sailing there in July, and it was good to see, encouraging to see the development there. And Rick, you had it's your turn. Go for it.
Hey, Jan, when I think of Sardinia, and I'm a big soccer fan, I think of Cagliari, Calcio, and the little shield, the little Scudetto is, of course, the flag of Sardinia, and I think it's a great juxtaposition because you have the cross of St. George, but then you have the four Moors, and I used to think they were all blindfolded, but it's actually a bandage on the head, and it's kind of a great way of thinking about, you know, the influence from the Muslim world and the Christian world coming together in Sardinia. What is it like for that identity of that island?
Sardinia, interestingly enough, is a real melting pot of very, very old cultures. One of the oldest ones in Europe, I think. Especially if you really travel through the island, you see these huge stone. It looks a bit like Stonehenge on some of these areas. You have these igloos made of huge granite blocks, up to 10 meters high. They're called nurage. And it's an old culture that goes back to more than 1,000 years. So way before the Romans and the Greek. So it's a very, very old culture. Then obviously the danger, being an island in the middle of the Mediterranean, the danger came from the coastlines. So at one stage they're part of from Spain. There's a lot of Catalan influence from Barcelona. Fishermen came from Genoa, from Naples. Arabs passed by. So it was always like on the trading routes. And the Sardinian culture, interestingly, they basically, out of the danger from the coast, at one point they settled in the center of the island, so not really on the coast. So you would think that people on an island are fishermen. They are not fishermen, so they're going for wild boars and hunting. So but it's a amazing island to visit, with very different facets. So you're having from the north the Costa Smeralda, which obviously got known more for the high-end tourists, beautiful sailing grounds, amazing beaches, and then you go up to the east coast, where you have steep cliffs, beautiful for rock climbing, amazing nature. You have the deepest canyon in Europe is in Sardinia. So there's some facets of the island that you wouldn't imagine, and it's a very low density population. Sort of agriculture and mountain regions, a little bit like Corsica, quite similar, I would say, to Corsica, if you're a little bit aware with that. But I think it's a great island to explore. Take your time when you're down there. But if you have a trip to Italy, don't pass by Sardinia.
Well, you know, in September, you hosted the 30th edition of the Maxi Yacht Rolex Cup. And in the final leg of the 52 series, Super Series circuit, Azura, which is flying the yacht club Costa Smeralda Berge, won that most high level pro sailing championship. Was that a very emotional moment for the yacht club Costa Smeralda?
It is, and it was, because Azura dates back to 1983 when it was the first Italian challenger in America's Cup in Newport. And I think it was also the first time that it was a Louis Vuitton challenge. So, and Azura came third. I think they were the only boat that actually beat their Australians. It was that historic race where the Australians took the America's Cup away. And so it was a very emotional timing. And for us, Azura represents a little bit the sportive DNA of the club. So we tried to give rebirth to the Azura brand through the TP52 Super Series. And we're glad that we have members like the Rummers family to support that. And they are the proud owners of their team. And yeah, the club was all behind them. So it was exciting racing, because obviously in the home waters to see them win is always good.
Yes, the Azzurri for the national team, the Azzurra for the Audi 50 Super Series. Jan Pockner joining us from Yacht Club Costa Smeralda on behalf of the One Ocean Foundation. Thank you so much. Continued good work, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Thank you very much. Have a great day over in San Francisco. I think it's a long way away, but yeah, absolutely. Hope we'll meet either in San Francisco, or I invite you over to Sardinia, everybody.
Sounds good. And Karen, which arrondissement are you in right now?
Well, I'm just on the edge of stepping on the water.
All right, get out there on the sand. Get on a bateau mouche by the Ile Saint-Louis. Yes. And we'll see you. Are you back in America next week?
Yes, I should be back in America if I don't decide to fly off. But I'll probably see you in person on Tuesday, 9:37 San Francisco time.
That's Karen Lyle. Karen, safe travels. We'll see you back here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Bar.